is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game, Floyd, can you read that right there on NFL Network, what it says?
I think I can.
What does it say?
It says Championship Wednesday.
Championship Wednesday. Jared and the GM, AFC Championship Wednesday. Tomorrow will be Thursday. Friday will be in Kansas City. Saturday Special Edition will be in Kansas City. Sunday Special Edition will be in Kansas City, leading up to the AFC Championship game, which I should say is presented by Intuit by TurboTax. Now, couple of things to get to. Number one, John Robinson, Titans general manager, will join us at 4 o'clock today. John Robinson at 4 o'clock. Now, another little news item for the Titans. Guess who's back on the practice field?
The receiver?
Adam Humphries is back on the practice field, as is Jayon Brown. They're both back on the practice field. Logan Ryan did not practice today. I'll be honest with you, I'm not worried about Logan Ryan. So forget about Logan Ryan. But again, Adam Humphries is back on the practice field. Why is this a big deal? Because who caught the game-winning touchdown when the Titans played the Chiefs in November? Adam Humphries, who had no catches in that game and wasn't even active. Corey Davis, who had one catch for 17 yards, A.J. Brown. But who had the game-winning touchdown? Adam Humphries. He was back at practice today. So I want to start on this. Nick Saban was on Morning Drive today, and they were asking him about Derrick Henry, and they were asking about Rashawn Evans and a lot of different stuff. And so Nick Saban, and we talked to Nick Saban a year ago or SEC Media Days or whatever, and Nick said, hey, I've been talking to Derek for 3 years, and he's been waiting for his opportunity, and he's been chomping at the bit. And there has not been, and from the people I've talked to, a bigger Derrick Henry supporter than Nick Saban. And so Nick Saban was on Morning Drive. This is what he said about Derrick Henry this morning.
You know, he's playing right now for the Titans like he did when he was here. I think if you go back and, you know, look at his senior year here, gained like 1,700 yards. And, you know, some of the same features, you know, show up now. You know, great stiff arm, big, long guy that's really, really hard to tackle, can make you miss, has tremendous power. And I think what people miscalculate is a guy that big being that fast. But he was really that way here. You all just didn't see it out of him for several years. You know, as he learned and evolved, and I think every player, and, you know, Derek probably went through this when he went from college to the NFL. Whether you're going from high school to college or college to the NFL, I think there's sort of an acclimation that you go through to sort of learn a system and figure out how you got to play to be successful at that level. I think it's a little different. And, you know, that took a little time. And now that Derek's got his opportunity, he's certainly taking advantage of it.
So the thing Nick Saban really highlights is that Derrick Henry's NFL career was a lot like his pro career, and the fact of everything that he's doing now, he did at Alabama. Now, it took him some time in the NFL to get to this point, but he's doing everything he did at Alabama. And I don't need to remind everybody how dominant Derrick Henry was at Alabama, but you're talking about a guy who had 2,200 yards in his last season. I mean, it's hard enough to get 2,000 yards in the NFL, much less college, where you don't play as many games. And then you go back to the games and the national championship against Clemson, where Derrick Henry took over 36 carries, 158, 3 touchdowns against Clemson, 46 carries at Auburn, 271 and a touchdown. To Nick Saban's point, Derrick Henry is doing right now for the Titans what Derrick Henry did for him at Alabama. And if we remember that Alabama championship team, they beat Deshaun Watson and Clemson with Jacob Coker as their starting quarterback. Floyd, do you know where Jacob Coker is right now?
No.
I don't either. Nobody knows where Jacob Coker is. Derrick Henry carried Alabama to a national championship. As Saban said, everything he's doing now he did in college. Can Derrick Henry carry the Titans to a Super Bowl? Can you do it? I know in college he was dominant enough to be able to do that.
There's the key words.
But
in college.
But to Saban's point, everything that he's doing now is exactly what he did his last year at Alabama.
And if we were playing Clemson, we'd probably have a pretty good shot. But we're not playing Clemson. We are playing a team. They just showed, you know, they're averaging 30 points a game. 30. I mean, they have the stats against us, against the Titans by Kansas City, are not pretty. I mean, we don't.
Neither are Derrick Henry's stats for them. I mean, 155 in the playoffs, 188.
You can't see. You're trying to compare the two, and they're not. You can't compare them because you can go out there. We saw it this weekend. How many did he gain this weekend?
Derrick?
Yeah.
195.
195. How many touchdowns? Zero.
He did not have a touchdown. Now, how many of them led the touchdowns?
How about the other side? Yeah, but the other side, you have a quarterback that goes out and throws for 400, and he may score four touchdowns or five touchdowns. Or how many did he score this week? Seven in a row? So, you know, you just can't. You can't run the ball. To get seven touchdowns in a row, you'd have to run the football like for 650 yards or something. You know, I mean, it would just have to be off the charts.
Well, I'm making the assumption that the Titan defense is going to have to at least do something. I mean, I'm not saying the Titan defense is going to go out there and hold Mahomes scoreless or that they're going to pitch a shutout against Kansas City. But you do. The idea of can Derrick Henry run for seven touchdowns in this game? No. But if the Titans' defense holds Mahomes to three touchdowns, can Henry take over the ball game, and can Henry do what he did in college, which is the exact point Saban was saying? Saban was saying everything that he's doing now, he did in college. And what he did in college was he carried his team to a championship. And I wonder if Derrick Henry is good enough, if this run game and what the Titans are doing, is that good enough to get you past the first round, the second round? Can you get to a Super Bowl when you're not throwing it up and down the ball field? Can you win a Super Bowl where you're not throwing it up and down the ball field? I think some of this is dependent upon who you play, because if you don't run into a Kansas City, but instead you get into a matchup with another team then that doesn't throw the ball as much, say you get into a matchup with San Francisco, can Derrick Henry run his way to a championship in that Super Bowl? Maybe. But I do think that everybody believes you got to have a great quarterback in order to win in the NFL. You have to have Manning or Brady or Ben or Rodgers or Russell. You got to have one of those guys to win. Mahomes, I think Derek's proving you can do it with a great running back. Now, again, how far can you get with Derek? To Nick Saban's point, in college, it was the championship. Now, he had a great defense in college, too. The Titans, I don't think, have that great of a defense. I think they have an okay defense. But what's to say the Titans can't run Derrick Henry to a championship, considering that he's doing things that we haven't even seen before?
I mean, again, in my mind, you're trying to compare apples and oranges. You know, you're talking about night and day. I mean, you're talking about two completely different subjects. And you can't compare them. Now, you can compare our running game to their running game, but then you have to compare our passing game to their passing game. And therein lies the rub.
You know how many texters texting yesterday said that they are tired of every time the Titans go up against a playoff opponent, all you do is talk about what the opponent is good at and what the Titans are bad at?
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
I mean, if Kansas City scores seven touchdowns in a row, they win.
The running game for the Titans is really, really good, as is the passing game for Kansas City. The problem is you can't compare the two. You're trying to correlate what we're doing in the run to what they do in the pass, and that doesn't work. You know, that's like a nose tackle as a defensive lineman and a speed rush end.
When did I compare this to their passing?
They're both lining up in the same position. They're both defensive linemen, but you're talking about apples and oranges now. You're not talking about the same. Just because they're defensive linemen does not make them the same.
I'm not comparing their passing game to the Titans' running game. What I'm saying is I do wonder if your defense is playing well, which the Titans' defense is playing well, can you run to a championship? Can you run behind Derrick Henry to a championship? Can you run for 190 yards in this game? Because it's probably going to take 200 yards in order to do this. But can you do that? Can you do it? Can you run behind? Can you, and theoretically speaking, could you get behind him without some miracle play like those field goals that they missed in the game here? Can you run behind that big back? And can that big back carry this team to a Super Bowl? a la how a lot of people would say you need a quarterback to carry you or an incredible defense to carry you or something of the like. Can the running back carry you the way that he's carried this team so far and the way that he carried his team in college?
If everything else was equal, yeah. If everything else was equal, sure. But, I mean, it's not equal. And that's the therein lies the rub. I mean, this team, like the team we played last week and this team, I mean, they are, world apart.
Although you didn't say that they could run their way to victory in that game, and that's exactly what they did.
No, I said, what did I tell you the most important thing of that game was? Do you remember?
The way the game unfolded.
And what happened?
The Titans got up 14-0.
There you go. End of story. That was the whole game changed from there on. Running back was out. Game unfolded differently than they've had for all year long, and you saw the result. So, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think this, and I'm not taking anything away from the Titans for that win. I mean, that was a great win. But, the team we saw, the Baltimore we saw, was not the Baltimore that has been averaging whatever it was, 35 points a game or whatever, you know, the number one.
Well, you got to give the Titans some credit for that now.
Sure.
I mean, back here and say Baltimore flat out sucked Saturday, so for write off what the Titans did.
No.
Because the Titans went in there and kicked their butt.
We did. We forced them, or they were forced, however you wanted to do things they didn't want to do. And it would be the same thing. If we said, okay, Kansas City, you've got to run the ball 60 times this game, and Titans, you got to pass the ball 60 times this game. Nobody's happy about that. Certainly not Kansas City. You know, I mean, that's not, you go, whoa, we don't want to do that. And we'd be saying the same thing. No, we don't want to do that. I think that's what happened to them. And as soon as you get to a point, in my opinion, as soon as you get to a point where the coordinator says, okay, we got to change the game plan. We got to go to plan B, which is what they did pretty early. Then, you know, I mean, during the game, I certainly wouldn't have said it, even if I would have felt it. But I think looking back on it, you know, you're saying, okay, that's when things started to change, when they said, we've got to abandon this.
The more I think about it, the more that I thought Harbaugh's decision to go for it on fourth and short in a 14-6 game at the start of the second half was so stupid. I mean, the way the game was unfolding, you weren't getting those short yardage gains against the Titans. Kick your field goal, be down five, put your defense back on the field, get a stop, get the ball, go try to get the lead. Not, we've been doing it all year, so let's do it. Because just like that, I mean, they didn't even get the 1-2-point conversion they tried. They got nothing short yardage against the Titans.
Nothing.
And you go back to that and you think, Coach, what are you doing? And Greg Roman throwing it 60 times. What were you doing? Now, look, Andy has had a lot of those moments in the playoffs of the, hey, what were you doing, Andy? Maybe you get him in one of those too.
Maybe.
But I just want to go back to what Saban said. We'll take your calls, your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Can the Titans, can Derrick Henry run the Titans to a championship like he ran Alabama? You heard Nick Saban on Morning Drive say, hey, he's doing everything he did in college. His senior year of college, Alabama had Jacob Coker as their starting quarterback and won the national championship. Derrick Henry had 2,200 yards. Derrick Henry carrying it 30 times, 40 times for 270 against Auburn. Can you run Derrick Henry like that and beat Kansas City? Can you run Derrick Henry like that to the Super Bowl? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Your calls, 615-737-1025. And your texts, 615-737-1025. Plus, the game has changed in the NFL. And everybody tells us the new NFL and how the game's changing. What does that mean for Derrick Henry? With how the game is changing or not changing. We'll discuss next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, and we're streaming the Game Nashville app.
You know 22 can beat you. Now, he's proven that, Skip. Over the last month and a half of the season, he's proven he can run them to a...
Nobody in the history of this league has had three straight games of 180 or more, and he just did.
I mean, and think about it. His first four games in the playoffs, he's got 548. Now, I was on the team with TD when he was running the ball down people's throat, and I didn't think anybody was going to get that. Dude did him 30-plus better.
Shannon Sharp says you can run Derrick Henry to a Super Bowl Floyd, Derrick Henry has killed the Chiefs in his career, and yet I don't get a sense that Kansas City is all that worried about Derrick Henry, because to your point, I think they believe, yeah, if Henry gets his, he'll get his, but we'll just outthrow it. So if Henry runs for 200, we'll throw for 400. If Henry runs for one touchdown, we'll throw for four touchdowns. And that's great and all that, and I'm sure that there's probably some truth in that. But I think the people think the game has changed where it's gone all quarterbacks, all passing, you know, get these hybrid linebackers who can cover like Jayon Brown, who's not very big, but Jayon Brown can get out there and cover, and let's just throw it all over the ball yard. And Kansas City's an example of this. Is Derrick Henry the counter to the new age football where you've got all these cover guys out there? And all of a sudden, now your linebackers who are undersized but can cover are now coming up trying to tackle Derrick Henry, and they can't do it?
I think it was before our game this week when they had a chart on whatever show it was. The four best passing teams in the NFL, none of them made the playoffs. The four best running teams, all in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think people just talk about that. I don't think that's actually happening. I think you may be getting more quality runs out of your running game. That is, you're not running the ball. You know, people used to just run the ball to eat up the clock. You know, maybe you're not getting as much of that kind of stuff. You're getting more passing and et cetera. But running the ball, I mean, Baltimore was the number one offense in the league, and they ran the ball more than anybody else. So, I mean, the running game is still there. It's still alive. And running backs, now, although running backs may be differing a little bit, differ in their stature and what you're asking them to do, I think the fact that they're still running the ball, you know, is evidence that, no, the running game is alive and will always be alive.
I think the most deadly team right now running, I mean, think about this. When we think of San Francisco, we don't think of running the ball, but that's exactly what San Francisco wants to do.
Oh, first
and
half of the year.
And that's what Green Bay wants to do.
First half of the year, they were the leading rushing team in the league, going away.
Kansas City is the only team that's left that doesn't want to run the ball. They're the only team.
Well, and they're running the ball better. And their run defense is better. You know, so I mean they're improving the second half of the season. They've improved in some of those areas. Now, I'm not saying they're, you know, among the elite. I'm just saying they are getting better.
Well, I wonder who they're playing to in the second half of the season, because if they're playing in the second half of the season, the Chargers and the Raiders had Josh Jacobs, but even then he got hurt. But if they're playing the Chargers and Denver and like those teams that A, aren't very good, and B, aren't very good at running the football, maybe that kind of makes your run defense look better than it actually is. I know Kansas City's defense has improved. I need to see Kansas City's defense lock the Titans down and specifically stop this running back before I give Kansas City's defense credit for being a much improved unit under Spagnuolo. I know the numbers say it, but I go back to that physicality thing with Baltimore where everybody told me, hey, Baltimore is incredibly physical. They are, this will be the most physical game. And I flipped on the tape and I'm like, the Titans are going to eat them alive. And they did. And I'm not saying, because Kansas City, they don't want to be physical, but they got some physical guys. But I just, everyone's harping that Kansas City's defense is better. I would just like to see it before I sit there and say, okay, I know KC's defense is better.
I think that they were passing the ball. The reason they're not running the ball or are running the ball is the quarterback was healthy the second half of the year, you know? So now they're getting up on everybody. That first half of the year, whenever it was, he was hurt. I mean, he missed that time, and during that time, you know, they were struggling to win some of those games, and I think that meant he, you know, they were more like the rest of the world. Once the real quarterback got back, then they kind of smoothed things out and said, "Okay, here we go. You know, now we can run the ball a little bit more, and now we can do some of that stuff."
Texter to the text line says, the Ravens weren't the same Ravens because of the Titans. The Titans changed them, and that's what defines a good team. The Titans forced Baltimore out of their game.
Yeah, I mean, they got up by 14.
Well, my thing is, can they do that to Kansas City? Can they get Kansas City out of their game? The one thing I worry about with Kansas City is if you get a big lead on Kansas City, all Kansas City's going to do is just throw the ball more. You know, there's nothing that gets, like, nothing to me is going to phase this kid. Nothing is going to phase that team. I mean, if they can get down 24-0 and be fine, they're not the kind of team that you're going to bully out of the stadium like you did the Ravens.
No, I wouldn't think. I mean, I think they're pretty well set in who they are and what they are. And I think they, you know, especially after last week, but I think they're pretty confident. Oh, you're up 14-0? We'll be okay. Don't worry about it.
Time of possession would worry me if I was a Kansas City fan with Derrick Henry, except that it doesn't because the Titans aren't a great time of possession team.
And if you look at them last week on those seven drives, I mean, they showed the number of plays by each drive. I mean, they were scoring in two plays and three plays and five plays and two plays and three plays.
Well, you have to assume your defense is going to play better than the Houston defense.
For whatever.
And if they don't, you lose.
Yeah, I mean, but the point being that they don't mess around now. They go out there, they complete a couple of balls, it's a touchdown. You give them any kind of field position. And they two completions, it could be 7 points. And that's their explosiveness, you know, the thing that they're living on right now. This quarterback is not your typical. I mean, he's not Tom Brady-like. This guy is a little bit more Brett Favre-like. That is, he's out there running around, and he's so confident, and he can fit it in wherever he has to. He can put it on whoever's running. I mean, the number of strikes they have downfield, I mean, it's off the charts. I mean, they just are a vertical passing game. They're going to find a way to get deep on you.
So I do think, though, time of possession would help the Titans. Like, if the Titans held the ball for 40 minutes, I think that's good. The problem is the Titans aren't a time of possession team. They lost time of possession to Baltimore. They barely won time of possession against New England. I want to say they lost time of possession to the Texans in the big game they played against them. They lost time of possession like 44-17 or something crazy the first time they played the Chiefs. They're just not a time of possession team. That's the problem with Derrick Henry ripping off 65-yard touchdown runs is that you then give the ball right back to the other team. And so if you told me Henry was going to get his on Sunday, my question would be, how does Henry get his? Because if he gets his five at a time and now you're taking 10 minutes off the clock like they did the first drive of the second half against the Texans here, then I think, okay, that's a big deal. Because if Mahomes only has the ball 5 minutes a quarter, how many touchdowns is he going to be able to score? But the Titans haven't been winning time of possession lately, so that doesn't give me any confidence that time of possession will matter because they're still winning games without winning time of possession.
Right. I mean, they're just explosive plays. They're scoring on explosive plays. The question is, can you score on...
Can you do that in this game and it still be okay?
Can you do it enough? Can you... I mean, they're going to have to do it. You know, look at the last game. They're going to have to pick up a fumble and run it in. They're going to have to block a kick. They're going to have to block a punt. They're going to have to return a kick. They're going to have to get a pick six. They're going to have to get a strip set. They're going to have to do that. Have to.
All of it or just one or two?
No, you know, like they did last time. They blocked a kick and they picked up a fumble and ran it in. I mean, they're going to have to get some of those. And if they can do that, then it's going to keep you right in it. If you can't, then... You know, then I think it gets difficult.
Let's take your phone, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And I still think you can win with the running game. You can win with the running game in the NFL. To Floyd's point, the top four passing teams are out. So we'll get to that. Coming up next, Derrick Henry is beating all of the good teams. So then the question has to be, what is the limit for Derrick Henry? Plus, Andy Reid has his comparison for Derrick Henry. And Floyd may know something about it. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
You know, I think that that's a confident football team. I mean, they had won 7 in a row. They're fully aware of their explosiveness and what they can do. You know, I'd like to think that we're playing with a lot of confidence, too. You know, I think that when you can run the football against the Baltimore Ravens, New England Patriots, take care of the football. You know, those are, and I want our players to play with confidence too. You know, there's a lot of ways that these games unfold. You know, I've learned from great coaches that you have to have a game plan, but you also can't predict the way that the game's going to unfold. However it unfolds, you have to start coaching that way and then make adjustments.
That was Mike Vrabel today. And I think it's fair to say, Floyd, that whenever you get to the AFC Championship game, both teams are going to have confidence. You know, Vrabel saying, hey, they're a confident football team, but we just beat the New England Patriots and we just beat the Baltimore Ravens. We're a confident football team, too. And then I thought the interesting aspect was what he said there at the end of, hey, you don't know how the game's going to unfold, and you got to start coaching that way based upon how the game unfolds. I don't think Harbaugh did a very good job on Saturday of changing how he coached based upon the way the game was unfolding.
They were shocked. That was the last thing they expected. The absolute last thing. And I don't think, I agree with you, I don't think they did a good job anticipating or preparing for that. They did not think that would happen to them. And therefore they were shocked. And therefore when it came, I mean, they haven't had to adjust for what, 14 games, however many they won in a row, you know, 12, 13, 14, I forget what it was. So they're saying, hey, we just, you know, same game plan we had last week and hey, we're good to go. And when we jumped out, then all of a sudden it was, oh my God. You know, what are we going to do now? And I think that was also the reason that that the offensive coordinator got away from the game plan so quick.
Oh, yeah, they were all shocked.
Stunned.
Yeah, they were all shocked. And to Vrabel's point, you have to be prepared. I mean, Vrabel has to go into this game being prepared to be down 14-0. And what's going to happen? Because if you get down 21-0 to this team, they are too explosive on offense for you to get back in the game. I go back to the game that they played here where they got up 10-0, in large part thanks to a horrible call by Tony Corrente, who will be the ref this week in the game, and that was the Tannehill fumble, where Tannehill had his hand over the ball, and they called it a fumble, even though he was literally laying on the ground, hand on ball, and then just kind of lets the ball go, because that's what players do when the play's over, and then they ruled it a fumble, which was ridiculous. But now Kansas City's up 10-0, and the Titans found their way back into the game with a deep shot to Raymond, and they got back in the game. Vrabel's got to have a plan for if they get down 14-0. He's also got to have a plan for if they get up 24-0, unlike Bill O'Brien, who's faking punts from his own 30. You got to have a plan when you go into these games of how it's going to unfold. And that's where I think it's hard to say, okay, if Henry gets his running the ball on the ground and Mahomes gets his throwing the ball through the air, then Kansas City will win because you can always get more through the air than you can get on the ground. But the game changes if Derrick Henry gets his. And I wonder how much Derrick Henry dominating the best teams in the league, Kansas City, New England, Baltimore, Houston, you name it, the fact that he's dominated the best teams, what that means for what the limit for him is and how that could change the game as the game is being played on Sunday. Like, how does that take Mahomes? Mahomes can't score 7 touchdowns in a row if they have 9 possessions. I mean, it's just not likely that he's going to score 7 touchdowns in a row if Derrick Henry's running the ball and you limit the amount of time that they have the ball. And I'm trying to think of, okay, how does Derrick Henry help the Titans win on Sunday?
Well, I don't think, now this is just me, generally speaking, I think teams that are really, really, really good at one thing don't spend as much time concerned about something else, like this team. You know, do they want to stop Derrick? Yeah, they do. But then they're saying to themselves, you know what? If we let Derrick carry the ball for 4 yards a crack, all through for the length of the field, are they going to be able to do that without a penalty? Without a fumble, without a missed block, and if they can do that, then they'll score. Otherwise, they'll be kicking field goals. Mm-hmm. Whereas we can go out here and, you know, I mean, we've seen in the past, I mean, here's to Kelsey for 15, here's to Kelsey for 15, here's to okay, touchdown. That's the scary
thing. Now, in the game here, it was here to Kelsey, here to Hill, here to Kelsey, here to Hill, here to Kelsey, field goal. Now, they got two touchdowns. They got one, I think, on the first drive, and then they got the one deep shot to Hardeman where, you know, they're going to get an explosive play at some point in the game. You just hope that it's not a touchdown. It's like we talked about Lamar. Lamar's going to break a couple of runs. Just, you know, when Lamar gets his 30, make sure that's all he gets, that it's not 30 and a touchdown. And to me, like, they're going to get their big plays, but they were kicking field goals when they played here. And you have to do what you did to the Patriots. You have to do what you did to the Ravens. It's going to be harder because they're better, but you're going to have to make Kansas City kick some field goals.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt about that.
I mean, Mahomes had 446 the first time these two teams played. I expect Mahomes to have at least 400 yards on Sunday. I mean, he's going to get his. Just like Lamar. I mean, you look at Lamar's stat line, and you would think that Lamar Jackson had one of the greatest performances in the history of football. Now, we all watch the game, and we know Lamar Jackson was terrible on Saturday. He was terrible. I heard someone saying that Lamar played well, but the Ravens, he was awful. Mahomes is going to get his now. I mean, he's going to get 400 yards. The question is, when he throws that big one over the middle to Kelsey, and it's a backbreaker on 3rd and 9, and Kelsey goes for 27, and now the ball's at the Tennessee 18, do you stop Kelsey at the Tennessee 18, or does Kelsey knock a guy over and then run into the end zone for a touchdown? And that's where this matters in the ballgame. I think that with Derrick Henry running the ball, you got to take away possessions from Kansas City, but it's got to be like the first drive of the second half of the playoff game there 2 years ago. Titans are down 21-3. They get the ball to start the second half, and it's Derrick for 6, Derrick for 4, Mariota incomplete, Mariota short to Derrick for 6, delay a game. Well, the Titans are getting a delay a game. Mariota scrambles for 11, Henry for 4, Mariota complete to Davis for 4 with a penalty, Mariota to Davis for 4, Mariota complete to Henry for 29. Now all of a sudden you're in Kansas City. Henry for 12. Mariota incomplete. Mariota game running for 4. Like Mariota, Henry running the ball, just constant run. And the Titans on that drive, it ended up being the one that Mariota threw the touchdown pass to himself. But the Titans on that drive, 15 plays, 91 yards for 8:29 off the clock. Those are the kind of drives the Titans are going to have, and they're going to have to end with touchdowns. But they can do that with Derrick, right? They just haven't been doing that.
Well, no, they can do it.
But they haven't been doing it. They have been getting their butts kicked in time of possession.
Oh, you're worried about time of possession?
I think they have to limit Kansas City's possessions.
Yeah, well, the only way you're going to limit the possessions is to get turnovers. I mean, that's what you got to do. You know, you got to get a turnover in there where, you know, it's 1st and 10 on the 25, and oh, they fumbled. You know, now it's 1st and 10 for us, and that's you know, ideal. That's the perfect scenario for us, of course, because you know it'll take us longer to get into the end zone than it probably would them going 75. But that's okay because we're going to get points out of it. You know, it doesn't matter.
Do you think the Titans have any chance in this game if they don't block a kick? If they don't pick up a ball and run it into the end zone.
They're going to have to get a special play. I think. That's my gut feeling.
That Kansas City is just too good for the Titans to go in there and beat them. Because they didn't really have a special play against New England.
I think they could go in there and I think they could run the ball for 200 yards. You know, the problem is, can you stop them throwing the ball? I mean, because it's going to, you know, whatever you think you're going to do, I mean, it's just like I said, you know, they get to a point, if you get to a point where you're trading 14 running plays for 4 pass plays and everybody's ending up with the same score, they're probably okay with that, you know, figuring that, hey, we're, you know, as long as we can get ours, they can get theirs. But I mean, I don't know. I just think it's going to be great. The whole card, in my opinion, for the Titans this week, the absolute whole card is as ugly as it looks, as funny as it may seem, as odd and strange and out of whack and completely different, the Titans have found a way to win, is the bottom line. And it can be unorthodox, and people can make fun of it, and how can you throw for 70 yards and win a playoff game? And, you know, you can cut it any way you want. I don't care. You know, if you can find a way to win, that's the thing. And they've been able to do that.
Well, not only that, Andy Reid has found ways to lose against the Titans, especially in the last couple of years with Kansas City, that are unfathomable. I mean, how he has lost some of these games. Texter to the text line says that Adoree Jackson looked like a Pro Bowler last week. He will shut down Tyreek Hill and the catches of Tyreek Hill. I would like to just say this. Tyreek Hill on the season did not have in any game more than 6 catches, except against the Titans when he had 11 for 157 and a touchdown.
Adoree did play well last weekend, though. I thought he played well. He got a couple of knockdowns, and he was all over him, had the one long ball that he was just an inch away from getting, but did give it up. And if we can get that out of him, it'll certainly help. I mean, it won't be the answer, but it'll certainly help a great deal.
So I asked Mike Vrabel earlier this week if he was worried about A.J. Brown and the fact that A.J. Brown had one catch in both of the 2 playoff games against number 1 corners. Now, we'll hear what Vrabel had to say. What does Chris Sanders think, former Titans receiver? Chris will join us next. Jared and the GM right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. John Robinson, Titans general manager, will join us at 4 o'clock. Titans and Chiefs, John Robinson will join us at 4 o'clock today. So A.J. Brown had one catch against New England for 4 yards, and he had one catch, albeit a big catch, for a first down that led to a Titans touchdown against Baltimore against Marcus Peters. Those are 2 of the best corners in the league, Stephon Gilmore and Marcus Peters. And I asked Mike Vrabel earlier this week, I said, Mike, are you worried about A.J. against these top corners? Here's what Mike Vrabel said.
When you flip on the tape, A.J.'s gone up against, throw the stats up away, but just the tape, A.J.'s gone up against 2 of the best corners in the league the last couple of weeks. What have you seen from him in his ability to get off against those guys and get over?
I mean, A.J. just keeps working every week. I love his attitude. We've handed him the football. We've thrown it to him, you know, on short routes. One of the huge plays of the game was a third down play where, you know, catches it in traffic, gets upfield, doesn't try to run sideways, runs a guy over, gets a first down. And we're able to score a touchdown on that drive instead of settling for a field goal. So, you know, it'll be a new challenge this week, you know, for him. And, you know, they mix coverages, and they'll play post safety. They play Tampa, and they'll blitz. You know, so every week's a new challenge, I think, not only for A.J., but for the entire team.
With that, we bring in former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, who joins us now on the show. Chris, 2 games in for A.J.,
yeah.
Are you worried about what you've seen with him against top corners?
I mean, in a way I am, in a way I'm not. I mean, if you look at what he's done this whole season, he's made some big plays and in some big games, but I just think that it falls on Rob Moore. Rob Moore, he's a receiver coach for the Tennessee Titans. I think you've got to sit down with him and watch game film and see what he's doing wrong, because he's not getting open and create separation. So I just think if Rob Moore can come up with a game plan and show him what he's doing wrong, and just like what Mike Vrabel said, the interview we just heard, he's just got to keep getting better and become that elite receiver. You know, he's a good receiver, but when you come an elite receiver, you got to start doing those things and win it against the great corners.
Do you think against a team with Kansas City, who doesn't have the kind of defense the Titans have played in the first 2 games, that the passing game can have a much bigger effect this week?
Oh, it's going to be huge, because there's going to be so many people in the box. So you're going to get man-to-man coverage on the outside. And I think A.J. Brown's going to have a big game this week, because he's big, he's physical, and he's good yards after the catch. So he's just got to go out there and just play with some confidence, just like at the beginning of the year. Look at the swag that he had. Look at the confidence that he had. Look at when he caught the ball. He caught it with authority. I haven't seen that in the last couple of weeks. Maybe it's because he's not getting opportunities. Maybe he's not getting open. But he's got to get that attitude back. And if he can get that attitude back, I think he can be successful against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chris, we didn't, you know, these last 2 playoffs games, we haven't set the world on fire throwing the ball, but we haven't had to.
Right.
What what I mean, I am more than concerned about the receivers and their ability to get open and make plays, because this week we're going to need it from everybody.
So we're going to need him, because, you know, everybody's going to key on Henry. Everybody's going to, I mean, the defensive coach over there is going to really, you know, target on stopping Henry and let somebody else beat you. You know, these guys are going to have to make plays. I mean, listen, let me just go back in my receiver days when I was young and I had more hair. Is when I played for the Houston Oilers/Titans, if I got man-to-man coverage and it was cover zero, that's a flat-out insult. That's basically saying that you are not better than me. And when I got single coverage, my rookie season, it was in my mind, I knew you couldn't run with me. I knew you couldn't jam at the line of scrimmage, and the band is going to play because they know I'm going to score a touchdown. That's the attitude that these guys have to play with. If they go cover zero and Sharp gets pressed, if Davis gets pressed, and A.J. Brown gets pressed, that's an insult. You can ask Derek Mason, you can ask Dice, you can ask any receiver to play with the Titans. If you get cover zero and it's man-to-man, you better win. And they're basically saying your guy is better than me.
I always felt like in the playoff system, you know, your wild card and your divisional games are kind of where they are. You know, they're playoff games. Mm-hmm. But once you get to this one, the championship game, it ratchets up another notch. Gets even tougher.
It does, Floyd. Everybody's faster. Everybody is zoned in. Everybody's focused. And here's the thing, Floyd. Every play counts. That's why everybody is playing with enthusiasm. That's why everybody's playing with a tenacity, because there's no tomorrow. Because if you lose, that's it. That's why if you look at the game last week, you know, I know that Tannehill, you know, threw for 88 yards and completed eight balls. I think it's seven or eight balls. But the passes that he completed, they were impact plays, one to Janu and one to Raymond. So we really didn't need to pass. So if you look at this game right here, the receivers have to make impact plays. Tannehill may throw the ball maybe 17 times, but maybe seven of those passes need to be impact plays. And if the Tennessee Titans can have some impact plays, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful.
What do you think of the fact, Chris Sanders joining us, what do you think of the fact, Chris, that the Titans are getting and they've done this all year, but they've gotten contributions from everybody. Like Raymond's the deep guy, Jonnu Smith, Firkser, Michael Pruitt's had some big catches. AJ's obviously had a big season, and even Davis caught the pop pass for the touchdown the other day. Like it's all getting spread around, and it's not just going to one or two guys. And is that a Tannehill thing? Is that a team thing? And how big of a deal will that be on Sunday?
You know what, Jerry, that's a great question. I think it's a team thing, and you got to take your hat off to Rob, the general manager by picking these guys. These are guys that nobody really wanted, especially, you know, Raymond. Raymond is a guy that nobody really knew about, and he's contributing in some big-time plays. Look at when he played against the Colts. He made a huge touchdown to seal the game. Last week in a playoff game, he catches a bomb for a touchdown. So you have different guys making plays, and it puts a strain on the defense. And if a defense can't just key on one person or key on one certain wide receiver, other guys are going to make plays. I mean, look at the play that Jonnu made the other day, a one-hand catch. Then all of a sudden you come back with Raymond. You just can't key on one guy, because there's so many guys that are making plays. They're going to need it this week, because I know that the Kansas City defense is okay, but it's like what Floyd said, it's going to amplify up 200 millimeters, whatever it is. But guys are going to have to make plays all across the board, because that's what they've been doing all season.
How confident are you with our receivers going against these corners?
You know, I do have a lot of confidence in these guys. I mean, because if you look at Davis, Davis is a big physical guy, and I know he's going to make some catches. And A.J. Brown, the same way. Raymond, you got Sharp. I just think the reason why we're not passing the ball, it's just the flow of the game. I mean, and it's the identity of the Tennessee Titans. I mean, if you look at what was it, when they went against the Patriots, they needed somebody to make plays. So what do? You put it in the playmaker's hands. You have a 75-yard drive. You take 9 minutes off the clock, and your number one player touches. He's the only one who touches the ball. It's not that you don't want to throw the ball. It's just imposing your will on the team, and that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans did.
Chris Sanders is with us. Chris, you guys had Eddie George running the football back in the 99 run. Derrick Henry's doing things that nobody has ever done. Anthony Hitchens of the Chiefs was asked about Derrick Henry, and he said, quote, hit him low. all legal within the game, but hit him lower. We held him pretty good for 3.5 quarters. Then he busted a 70-yard run on us. So let's try not to have that happen again and play 4 quarters of good defense, and I think we'll be all right. Chris, what have you noticed about Derrick Henry, and do you think the Titans can use this formula even against a team like Kansas City in order to get to the Super Bowl?
You know what, Jared, if they try to tackle him low, they're going to get a stiff arm in their face. I mean, they're going to get a good dose of a stiff arm. You know what I'm so proud of, and let me tell you something. I wish Henry was listening to this interview right now, or with us talking. I would seriously like to apologize to this guy, because a year and a half ago, I was writing him off. I said, I mean, he's too big, he's too strong, he's 6'5", he's 240, 250, and he's running like he's a fifth grader. What's the difference between then and now? It's because he's running with an attitude. He's running with a chip on his shoulder. He's running with something to prove every single game. When Eddie Dorr sat down and talked to him, and he looked him square in the face, he said, man, you're too strong, you're too big, you're too physical not to be playing at your, not just your potential, of your capability. And I think in that moment, he understood that, hey, I'm big, I'm strong, I'm physical. I need to go out there and prove something. So every game that we've seen Henry play, I have to prove to you that I'm a great back. I have to not to just prove to the team, but prove to himself that, man, I'm a fantastic back in this league. So that's why every time he gets the ball, he's running with passion and he's running with a chip on his shoulder. And that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans need from him.
Chris, what do you think about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and what do you think of the Titans' defense? I know they got it done versus Brady, and they already got it done versus the greatest of all time, and they got it done versus the league MVP. But now they're going up against the guy who, quite frankly, I think is probably the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Titans' defense versus Mahomes?
You know what? I used to watch his favorite cartoon. It was Superman, and Superman was the best. He was strong. He was big. But there was one thing that they could stop him was kryptonite. And the Tennessee Titans are the Kansas City Chiefs kryptonite. So here's the deal. Is the pressure's not on the Tennessee Titans. The pressure is on that team. The pressure's on Holmes. Is because last year they lost 37-31 to the Patriots. So just imagine if the Tennessee Titans jump on these guys 14-0. I don't care how good a quarterback you are. I don't care if you're a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't care if you threw for 5,000 that year. You're going to start to play tight. So if the Tennessee Titans come out, hit them in the mouth, jump up 14-0, I don't care if Dan Marino was over there. They're not going to win.
You know that they got down 24-0 last week, right?
Yeah, but this is a whole different ballgame.
I actually agree. I don't think the Titans blow a 24-point lead.
It's a whole different
against
ball.
Against the Chiefs. Chris Sanders, as always.
Yes,
Chris, we appreciate it. We'll see
you. Appreciate you guys.
Chris Sanders.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome, guys.
Chris Sanders joining us. Former AFC champion Chris Sanders joining us as the Titans get set to take on the Chiefs. What do you think about Chris saying the Titans are Kansas City kryptonite?
I like it. I hope the heck he's right.
So I've always told people, I go, there are teams the Titans just absolutely cannot beat, and then there are teams the Titans seem to beat rather regularly. The teams they cannot beat, they cannot beat the Chargers, they cannot beat the Colts, and they cannot beat Oakland. I don't know why. They can't beat them. The teams that they have a good time, usually speaking, they're pretty decent against, Philadelphia, Kansas City, and Jacksonville. I don't know why those are the three teams they can't beat and those are the three teams they can beat, but the one common theme between two of the teams that the Titans seem to beat rather often is Andy Reid in Philadelphia and Kansas City. The other thing, and this is the disappointing part, Floyd, the teams they can't beat, Chargers, Oakland, Indianapolis.
We beat them all.
Beat them all this year. that is the part that is disconcerting when you look at it like that. Coming up next, I got a theory about the Titans, and I don't think people are talking about what the Titans are actually good at, because it doesn't necessarily show up in the stat sheet, but we'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.